All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am joined by The Athletic's Jeff Schultz, and he's going to talk with me about the strategy underlying the various decisions like the Falcons made to restructure Matt Ryan, as well as if quarterback is still on the table for the team at the top of round one.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's episode is where I am joined by my good friend Jeff Schultz of The Athletic, who covers various Atlanta sports, including the Falcons. And Jeff's going to talk with us about Matt Ryan, his restructure. Are the Falcons still in the market for a quarterback? We'll get into the conversation about this new regime's offseason strategy and whether or not they sort of had to, you know, change midstream. We'll get into the underlying causes and the leverage that the Falcons had over Dante Fowler, which led to him taking a pay cut. And we'll briefly touch upon the Falcons' addition of safety Eric Harris. I know you guys, you know, usually tune into the podcast to get the skinny on the most recent player that we signed. And I won't be going into detail about Eric Harris quite yet on the podcast yet. I'm maybe naively optimistic that the Falcons may make a couple more moves over the weekend, and we sort of will package Eric Harris together with those moves and potentially talk about that on Monday when we get to the mailbag and mock draft portion of the show. So that's the hope. We'll see what happens, but we'll definitely, if not, then we'll still talk about Eric Harris on Monday, but hopefully we'll have a few players to talk about on Monday in addition to Eric Harris. But without further ado, let's sort of get into the conversation I had with Jeff Schultz of The Athletic and talking about Eric Harris, the sort of strategy of what the team has decided to do and how impactful the salary cap has been to sort of honing that strategy. And we'll get into that conversation right now. All right, guys, it's Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, joined with my good friend and frequent guest here on Locked On Falcons, none other than Jeff Schultz of The Athletic. Usually we have Jeff on when big news is going on, whether it's a coach getting fired or the team's search or something like that, a big Julio Jones extension. And of course, we had to have Jeff on after the Falcons made their first big splash into free agency, signing former Las Vegas Raiders safety Eric Harris. So we got to get the inside scoop on that. But Jeff, welcome back to the show.
That sounds so much better than like former CFL safety because he couldn't go in the NFL. Yeah, thanks. It's great to be on, Aaron, during this peak time of the Falcons offseason.
So I want to get into that because I've been going back and forth about what the plan is with the Falcons. And you know, I talked about this on yesterday's episode, talking about sort of the difference between what this new regime led by GM Terry Fontenot and head coach Arthur Smith and how that differs from how Thomas Dimitroff ran things with Mike Smith and Dan Quinn, where it was very clear from the jump every offseason, if they felt like they had needs, they aggressively pursued those. And within the first 24 to 36 hours, whether it was a Dante Fowler, whether it was a James Carpenter, Jamon Brown, going all the way back to Michael Turner, you know, Alex Mack, Mohamed Sanu, Paul Soliai, they would aggressively pursue their needs in the opening days of free agency. And with this new regime under Terry Fontenot, that has not necessarily been the case. And I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that. Is it just a case of I just need to have to wrap my head around a new sort of strategy? Or is there a method to the madness? Where do you sort of take that point?
Well, I mean, if we go back to the beginning of the Thomas Dimitroff era, let's say in 2008, the franchise today is in a completely different place than it was back then. I mean, back then they were building. I can't really recall. That was, you know, 12, 13 years ago. I can't recall how much undoing they had to do on the roster. I know they did get rid of some veterans, but they certainly weren't in the salary cap bind, I don't think, at that point that they are today. And so, look, I understand angst by fans and some media people and sports talk radio people and occasionally a podcast person. It's like, oh my God, free agent is starting. We have to sign so-and-so. Oh my God, look what the Tampa Bay just signed. But free agency usually goes into three periods. There's the first, as I told somebody earlier today, the shock and awe period where you get that big star. Then there's the second period where it's like, okay, these are still some really good players. We're going to jump on these guys because we know they're still, you know, coveted by some other teams. And then there's the third time period where, okay, let's see who's left. Now, Eric Harris, who the Falcons just signed, a safety, veteran safety, decent player, actually. You could say sort of fits into that third category. But I think the fact that Terry Fontenot, who actually brought him in when he was with the Saints, has that familiarity with him. And I think that my guess is without having spoken to either party, had something to do with Eric Harris signing right away. And maybe he knew his options were limited anyway, so he might as well just go to a place where he knew he could definitely get snaps and for a GM he liked. The Falcons are not in the position, either in building or cap-wise, where they could go after those top-tier guys. We've said this, I don't know how many times. I'm sure you've said it a million times on your podcast. So, yeah, there's 100 players on the free agent market the Falcons would love. Maybe not 100, but a lot of them the Falcons would love. But the reality of this situation is they're just not equipped to bring those guys in right now. The restructuring of Matt Ryan and the Dante Fowler stuff, and I'm sure you and I will get into all that stuff, that wasn't about let's clear cap space because we have to win now. That is about let's clear cap space because we have to survive now, okay? There's a difference between creating cap space to really go for it, which is what Thomas Dimitroff and part of the Mike Smith era, and certainly the latter stages of the Dan Quinn era, that's what they were doing. We have this window where we went to a Super Bowl and we have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, and we have these guys on defense who we still think could be pretty good. And now we have Calvin Ridley. We have to go for it now. And so when you're in that mode, you do some things that frankly you probably shouldn't do. You give Dante Fowler a ton of money. You bring in Todd Gurley, who we could debate what he really had left and what his motivations were. You do a couple other things contract-wise that create this really bad situation, but you do it because you are trying to win a championship and you'll deal with the downside of it later. That's not the mode that Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot are in right now. They're just trying to bring in enough decent players to have a decent team this season with an eye for the future.
And I think that's an interesting point that you raised, Jeff, and I want to get deeper into that in terms of the decision to restructure Matt Ryan's contract, because at least in my eyes, that kind of conflicts a little bit from a certain perspective with what you just kind of laid out. And we'll get into that conversation as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast here with The Athletic's Jeff Schultz. But before we get there, since it's Friday, that's the biggest day of the week on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, because it's Fan Friday and hosts Trevor Sikkema and Ben Solak are bringing you the content that you crave on everything and anything from free agency to the draft to positional and even pop culture rankings. Don't miss Fan Friday on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL might be over, but NBA, NHL, NASCAR, and FCS college football are all in full swing. And of course, BetOnline is the best place for March Madness, as you can enter their $100,000 Bracket Madness contest for just $15 for a chance to win $15,000 in a first place cash prize. And not just that, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, because BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, sign up today and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I'm joined by Jeff Schultz, and he's going to give us that Falcons news that you need on today's Locked On Falcons, but get all the news across every sport that you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast hosted by Peter Bukowski, updating you with the latest news in every major sport with the help of all the Locked On Podcast Network local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So, Jeff, I want to talk to you about the decision behind restructuring Matt Ryan. Your initial reaction, at least on Twitter, was, I'm flummoxed, right? You've written
a word that I don't use a lot, yeah. By the way. It's rare that I use that word.
And I guess it goes to a thing that I've been talking about on the podcast for, you know, basically the last couple of weeks. And you've been talking about for months now, and others have been talking about sort of how we talk about the team's ability to sort of create cap space in order to survive, as you put it. But there's sort of different ways that you can do that. And we knew that the Falcons were certainly going to have to restructure contracts in order to get on the salary cap. But it set up seemingly like there were certain contracts that you wanted to restructure because you're fine. Jake Matthews, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones. But the Julio and Matt Ryan contracts were, because of how big they are, because of those players' status with the team, the possibility that those guys may not have that much longer here in Atlanta, that sure. You may have wanted to avoid restructuring those contracts if you could in order right. to free up the cap space, because you didn't want to necessarily put yourself in a situation where you're going to have to move on from those guys and eat a huge chunk of money. I'm a little bit confounded that the Falcons decided to restructure Matt Ryan. Not to say that's a crazy idea, but it just seemed like it was an avoidable sort of scenario. And I'm just curious, where do you fall in that, given your flummoxness?
my flummoxed state. So since that tweet, since I looked at it a little bit more, I don't disagree with anything you said, by the way. Because, look, part of me was like, screw the 2021 season. Go scorched earth. Have Matt Ryan play at his $40 million-plus contract, whatever. Bring in just minimum salary guys. Get your draft picks and just get this money off the books after the season. Now, I'm not ownership who has to sell tickets and PSLs. I'm not the GM and coach who maybe on some level still think they can compete, maybe on some level. I do believe now, well, when I first saw that restructure, and I think a lot of people first saw that restructure, it's like, oh my God, we're locking into Matt Ryan for 2 years. Now we're not going to draft a quarterback, or if we draft a quarterback, is he really going to sit for 2 years? And all those things kind of, I think, went through a lot of people's mind. The more I thought about it and the more I talked to people who are connected either directly or indirectly with the situation, I've learned that it doesn't change their plans to possibly and probably draft a quarterback. And it doesn't change their possibility that they could still move on from Matt Ryan after this season. I've been told directly and indirectly that this was about, they had to bring in some decent players this year, and there was no way they were going to be able to do that without doing a restructuring. Okay, now, in terms of why you restructure Matt, they viewed taking pain, and in this case, it would be like $24 million in 2022, and I think another $15 million in 2023. They viewed that as better pain than taking the pain this year of scorched earth. Okay. You and I might disagree with that, but that's how they viewed it. They would rather create space this year and take their lumps next year and even in 2023 than now. In terms of why you don't restructure Grady, he is a piece now and for the foreseeable future. If you restructure him, it kicks money from him into next year, which they did not want to do because they've already got these other issues. They're trying to clear books. They're trying to get past a lot of this year. And you don't want to create a situation next year where you're dealing with this again, because then you're going to have to extend him. I do think they are headed toward extending Grady Jarrett, but they're putting that aside for at least the right now, the immediate future. And I also think, by the way, that is not going to be an easy negotiation. Okay. His agent, Todd France, is one of the better agents, if not the best agent right now going. He plays hardball, good guy, but he understands the market. He understands how important Gray is to this team. And that is not going to be an easy or cheap negotiation. So I think the Falcons' thought is, let's just put that aside right now. In terms of why you don't restructure Deion Jones, some of this is me personally. I think there's some doubts about him. Okay. I think Deion is still viewed as a terrific athletic linebacker. I don't think since 2016 and maybe into 17 a little bit, he has grown like they thought and hoped he would. He hasn't been the leader like they thought and hoped he would. And I think there's some questions in terms of, do we want to restructure Deion and basically, again, kick hit money from him into the future when we don't really know what his future is? And so now, notice we haven't mentioned Julio. So they're definitely not restructuring Julio. Julio's it. And this is, and we can assume right now, probably he's going to play this year and he'll be done. Unless they decide to do a post-June trade, which they could always do. They won't really save anything cap-wise this year, but they could conceivably get an asset if they trade him. And so I do still think that's on the table, even if it's not likely.
Let me ask you this. It sounds like, if I can interpret for the listeners, you know, when you look at these big contracts at the top of their sort of cap sheet, you have Matt Ryan, you have Julio Jones, you have Grady Jarrett, you have Deion Jones. Jake Matthews you can also throw in the mix because they did restructure him. It sounds like they looked at those five players and said, Jake Matthews, Matt Ryan are the two guys that we are most committed to in the near future. And so we'll structure those guys and then we'll sort of play it by ear with the other three. Is that a fair interpretation of what you're saying?
I'm hesitant to say how much they're committed to Matt. I think there's still a real possibility this is his last year with the Falcons. I think part of that will depend on how well they play. I mean, if they go 9-7 and make the playoffs, I think there's a decision to make there. Okay. If they go 6-10, I think he's gone. Because remember, Matt's number, they just restructured again 4 times in 2 years. I've never seen anything like this. So his number jumps from whatever it is now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, to something like $48 million next year. Okay. I mean, could you see him playing at $48 million? They struggled enough with the concept of him playing at $40 million in a rebuild. Imagine next year when they want to be past this. So as much as they would have to eat $24 million next year in dead cap money, again, I think they would still think that's preferable to him playing at $48 million. And it gets back to what I said before, which is that I totally get scorched earth. Maybe they should have done that and just kind of written off the 2021 season to some degree. But I think they viewed kicking it forward with him and taking the pain next year as preferable to taking the pain now. If Matt Ryan is back in the 2022 season, it's either play at $48 million or restructuring him for a fifth time. I have a hard time getting my head around either one of those two things right now.
And the thing that I'm struggling to get my head around is the Falcons still being in the market for a quarterback at the top of the draft after restructuring Matt Ryan's contract. And we'll get into that as well as the process behind Dante Fowler's pay cut coming up with Jeff Schultz of The Athletic. But since it's March and you know that means March Madness, bracketology, it's time to find out which Built Bar flavor is the best. All month long, Built Bar is unveiling their bracket for the best flavor with daily matchups between the top flavors, and you can pick yours at BuiltBar.com. If you don't know, Built Bars are the best tasting protein bar on the market because they taste just like a candy bar, and they're not just tasty, they're healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. Build your own bracket or vote for your favorites by heading over to BuiltBar.com. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. Today's matchup features double chocolate versus caramel brownie. This is basically a showdown between the Built Bars, where one tastes like a Hershey bar and the other one tastes like a Milky Way or a Mars bar if you're outside the U.S. So go pick your favorite at BuiltBar.com, and when you do, make sure you use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. So if you're looking for the best bets heading into Sunday's action, listen to the Locked On NFL podcast every Friday as your boy Q and Chris Carter are joined by a betting expert and analyst from the Action Network. Get your full weekend preview of winning bets every Friday on Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. And as I said, I've been struggling to get my head around this. And this is the thing I've been struggling with for the last couple of days, because I think I went into this offseason expecting there to sort of be this sort of cohesive, like you can just follow the, you know, they're leaving the breadcrumbs. You can connect right. the dots and say they're doing this, they're doing X, Y, right. and Z. And it's sort of hard to figure that out based off of the moves that they've made so far. And obviously, you know, as we get further along in this offseason, things will become a lot clearer. But it does, you know, and I'm going to say a thing that's going to be considered, I think, a hot take to a lot of people, but if the Falcons restructure Matt Ryan, and this is fair, unfair, I'll let you be the judge. The Falcons restructure Matt Ryan because they had to, right? They felt compelled that they had to do that in order to make it through this season. And the possibility of eating a large dead money hit, whether they trade Matt Ryan, whether they cut him as a post-June 1 cut, or they wait to the summer and trade him, whatever the case may be, if they decide to move on from Matt Ryan in 2022, right? I think a lot of that's going to be facilitated by the decision to take a quarterback. And I'm reminded of a scenario that not too long ago with a person that Terry Fontenot is intimately familiar with in the Chicago Bears general manager, Ryan Pace. And several years back, they went out and paid a lot of money for Mike Glennon to be their starting quarterback at the outset of free agency. And then a month or two later, Ryan Pace, from what I understand, what I remember reading at the time, kind of unilaterally decided we're going to draft Mitchell Trubisky. They traded up to get Mitchell Trubisky. My recollection was, I think John Fox was the head coach at the time. John Fox was not party to that decision. Now, I know the dynamics are much different here in Atlanta, but that sort of strategy, to me at least, seems to be a flying by the seat of your pants type of strategy, or we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. And so that's the part I'm kind of struggling with, where it just kind of seems like we'll figure it out. And I don't know, like that doesn't give me a ton of confidence about things moving forward. But obviously we have so many different variables to play out. And I know people are going to say that's an overreaction this early in the process. But I'm just curious, sort of, what are your thoughts on whether there's sort of a hard, cohesive strategy versus just kind of we'll figure it out when we get there?
Let me tell you what I think and what I tell you I don't know. Okay. What I think is that when the new regime first stepped in, they had maybe some ideas about what they wanted to do. And I think the more they got into it, the more they realized they can't just let Matt Ryan play on his last year, because the cap situation is even worse than they thought. I'm not saying that Terry Fontenot didn't do his homework before he took the job. I'm sure he knew it was bad. But I think, you know, once you really get down and you look at film of players and you really understand the situation, you really think about what you need and how many players you need in free agency to fill out the roster, because we know for part of the season they have 39 players on the roster, and you start to look at the options, that's when he came to the realization they had to do this with Matt Ryan. I don't think there's in any way, shape, or form this is what he had in mind coming in. I really don't. I don't know if we're ever going to get an honest answer about that publicly. I might privately, but I don't think we're ever going to really know that for sure. What I also believe is this is, again, what I am told, and I believe the people who told me, this does not impact at all their thinking going into the draft. Okay? So if they were dead set on drafting a quarterback, they are going to draft a quarterback. What we don't know is who they really like. Okay. That's the one thing I think nobody's really talking about. I mean, we've all talked about, boy, Trey Lance versus Zach Wilson versus Justin Fields, or boy, wouldn't it be great to trade down? I wrote a column a few weeks ago about trade down, aggregate picks, lessen your salary cap hit by signing a guy in the top five and draft Mac Jones, who all of a sudden became the flavor of the week there for a while and might still be. I mean, this all gets me. Mitchell Trubisky is a perfect example. I mean, scouts and GMs and coaches to some degree, they fall in love with a quarterback, and they love certain tangibles, certain intangibles. They love what he can do in their system. particularly an offensive coach, and a GM has their idea about what he wants in a quarterback. It usually relates to leadership and all those other things. They fall in love with certain guys. We don't know if the Falcons have fallen in love with one of these quarterbacks. We could speculate, but that is really going to determine what they do in the draft. I will be surprised if they come through this draft without a quarterback. I really do. I just don't know where that's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be high in the first, low in the first, or maybe even into the second. I would be surprised if it came after that, but I just don't really have a feel for that yet. And I read mocks like everybody else, but by the way, everybody's guessing.
I guess, you know, going back to that sort of Ryan Pace thing, I would just sit here and say, like, in hindsight, obviously, but like if Ryan Pace knew in March of whatever, when they signed Mike Glennon, that they were going to draft Mitchell Trubisky and wind up trading up for Mitchell Trubisky, would he have signed Mike Glennon? And I wonder if the Falcons wind up taking quarterback, when we look back in hindsight, would he have restructured Matt Ryan? That's the part that I'm having trouble with.
I don't know, but I don't know why you signed Mike Glennon to begin with. So why are you giving a lot of money to Mike Glennon to begin with? I think so. Once that happened, it's like, okay, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Fair enough. To be fair, before anybody comes for me, yes, I do think there is a substantial difference. Just maybe slightly difference between Matt Ryan and Mike Glennon in terms of quality.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, look, wait, for as much as, you know, a lot of us bang on Matt Ryan, it's not, I think you and I both know the majority of what's gone on here over the last few years is not largely on Matt Ryan's lap. I'm not saying he hasn't made mistakes. I'm not saying he hasn't thrown some bad interceptions and made some bad decisions and to some degree even regressed. But he's still one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, and you can still win games with him. Yeah. And I think that was the thinking of, well, if we're going to restructure, along with the whole desperation aspect, if we're going to restructure a guy, at least we know we can win games with this guy. So let's keep him. Unlike, let's say, there's questions about Dante Fowler, obviously. We haven't really talked about him yet. I don't know if you want to talk about him.
Yeah, I do want to talk about Dante Fowler, but I guess quickly, you know, as you say, it's all guessing. But if you were to guess, do you think the Falcons will draft a quarterback at the top of round one when all is said and done?
I'm torn on this, but if I had guess right now, because honestly, I haven't really asked anybody this question. If I had to guess right now, I think it's 50-50, but I think there's a decent chance they trade down.
Okay.
They trade down and they draft a quarterback later in the round. Now, whether that's for Trey Lance or Mac Jones or somebody else, I don't know. But I think they trade out of that fourth spot. If I had to guess today, the day that we're taping this on March 18th, the day that will forever be remembered as Eric Harris.
Yes. We're living in a post-Eric
Harris. Why can't we just celebrate Eric Harris, Aaron, instead of talking about quarterbacks?
Let's talk about Dante Fowler. And the Falcons asked him to take a pay cut. I think, you know, they had – Fowler was kind of the biggest question mark for me going into this offseason, because it's like they could ask him to take a pay cut. They could restructure his contract. They could cut him. They could cut him outright now. They could cut him as a post-June 1 cut. The Falcons had an entire smorgasbord of options for how they handled the Dante Fowler situation. They obviously chose with a pay reduction. I don't know if you have details of that as of yet, but sort of what are your thoughts on that decision?
First of all, the question, I don't have details on that yet. I think as is pretty well known, his base salary was going to be $13 million. Less than half that, I believe $6 million was guaranteed. The other $7 million was due if he was on the roster the fourth or fifth day, whatever Sunday is, March 21st. So obviously the deal, if it's not in writing yet, it has to be in writing by Sunday. And so they really only owed him $6 million. How much north of $6 million they went in guaranteed salary, I do not know. I do know they gave him a chance. They are giving him a chance to make back some incentives. I don't know, you know, how much, and I don't know how realistic those incentives are. But I do know this, they were set on, Dante Fowler was not the player that the previous regime thought he would be. I think we've all learned from a few players that turns out when you play next to Aaron Donald, you're pretty good. I don't say that as a huge criticism of Dante Fowler. I'm just saying perhaps some of his numbers last year were, or the year before, were a little bit inflated. And I think if you go back and look through his career, he really hasn't had consistent back-to-back seasons, I don't think. He's had some issues. And so, and now that I also have heard to Dante Fowler's credit, he understands he didn't live up to the contract last year, and that's good. And maybe that humility, and maybe the fact that, look, this team needs edge rushers, obviously. He can still be a, back to the whole Matt Ryan thing. He can be a decent player. So if we can keep him, let's keep him. I think that's what Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith thought. But if we keep him, it's going to be at this price. And frankly, if Dante Fowler said no, they weren't going to restructure Dante Fowler. They were going to say goodbye to Dante Fowler. And he understood the situation. And look, even aside from, you know, a player's ego hit and what the Falcons may think of him and whether he disagrees with them or not, the reality is we are in a depressed time in NFL economic circles. This is not the time to be a free agent in the NFL. You're going to see, if you haven't spoken about this, I don't know, on recent podcasts, you're going to see a lot of one-year contracts this offseason, a lot of one-year contracts, either with low-budget free agents or with high-level free agents who, frankly, don't want to commit to a long-term deal right now because they know they can't get the money they think they deserve. This is the type of thing you usually see in baseball. Okay, Josh Donaldson signs with the Braves because he's been devalued a little bit. He takes a lot of money, but for a one-year deal, then hoping to hit it big the following year. Marcell Ozuna, the same thing. I think as I now return to football, I think there's going to be a lot of football players who sign one-year deals because they can't get big multi-year deals right now because of the economics related to the NFL and the salary cap right now. So I'm sure Dante Fowler, parentheses, see his agent, looked around and said, you know, I don't think you're going to get more than $6 or $8 million or whatever it is the Falcons gave you on the open market right now. You might just want to stay there. And so I think that's basically what happened.
Well, Jeff, we could sit here and go back and forth all day long about, you know, the value of players like Eric Harris and Lee Smith, and devote entire podcast to breaking that down. But, you know, I will sort of save you from that in-depth analysis, and I'll just do it myself and let the people know sort of what type of analysis and content you have upcoming at The Athletic. Obviously, I know some of it is Falcons related, but you cover a lot of teams in the Atlanta area. So let the people know, you know, what's going on at The Athletic and what they can find from you in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing a couple things here on, well, and perhaps George's Tech's one and done appearance in the NCAA tournament. One or two Braves columns as they start to come out of training camp, and I'll certainly be putting more Falcon content up there maybe soon as we get a little deeper into this free agency period and certainly before the draft. And I am kind of all over the board right now. Obviously the Hawks are become a story again. And so we'll see what happens. And just a quick plug. If you just Google my name in The Athletic, it'll take you to like my author page or writer page. I think there's a $1 sale right now. So it's like $1 a month. Aaron, I have been basically marked down again, even more so than I don't know, Lee Smith or Eric Harris. So yes, you can get me for $1 a month. Think about that. Is that value or what?
It really is. It really is. Apparently, The Athletic has been hard hit by COVID as well, and the salary cap for, you know, a subscription price has gone down as well.
Yeah, but, yeah. I'm just trying to think $1. What do I get?
Well, Jeff, I appreciate it, and people definitely check out that deal at The Athletic. You're not going to get a better deal. Probably, you know, maybe they lower it to 50 cents a month at some point in the future. But we'll great. See. You know. Go out and support Jeff, support Tori, support all the great writers over at Athletic. Jeff, I appreciate you coming on, sharing your insights. I'm sure we'll be talking later on this offseason when the next time the Falcons sign a cheap veteran player and we have to have breaking news and you to sort of parse it out for us. But appreciate
it. Why don't you just have me back for the fifth Matt Ryan restructuring? How about that? We'll make it a dinner.
Okay. So, you know, definitely within the next, you know, 12 months. So you
will exactly. Yeah.
All right. Jeff, man, I really do appreciate it coming on and look forward to our future conversations.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So there you have it, guys. Jeff Schultz of The Athletic. Again, go check out a great deal that they have over at The Athletic if you haven't already purchased The Athletic. And as I say, anytime we have Jeff or Tori on the show, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, then you're doing it wrong. But you're not going to find a better deal than what they're offering right now over at The Athletic. And that's it, guys, for today's episode. We'll be back on Monday, presumably with a mock draft Monday, as well as a mailbag. So that's an opportunity for you to get your questions in. We'll also sort of talk about Eric Harris and what he brings to the table, as well as hopefully some additional free agents. And I guess we're also going to find out whether or not the Falcons decided to pay Lee Smith his roster bonus and made him the highest paid tight end on the Falcons roster entering 2021, which is amazing. Chef's kiss to you, Terry. But on that note, let's sort of leave it with where you can send in your questions for that future mailbag episode. That is, you know, my brain. Obviously, you can tell I just had a brain fart just thinking, trying to wrap my head around that Lee Smith fun fact, or not so fun fact. But send in your questions, your comments, whatever, to Lockdown Falcons on Twitter, Lockdown Falcons on Facebook, or you can send an email to lockdownfalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Until then, have a great weekend.